Welcome to Notcast, episode 216, Email Tsunami. Holy damn, do we get a lot of emails this week. And what a goddamn week it has been. Holy balls.
Yes.
Let's fucking count the crazy shit.
Okay.
We have the Boston motherfuckers, who blew up shit in Boston and killed some people. We had a fucking fertilizer plant blow the fuck up in West Texas, which is the town of West.
Yeah. It killed a lot of people down there.
And leveled, like, blocks around it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like 50 homes were, like, outright destroyed, with 25 more going to be knocked down.
Plus a school, plus the nursing home.
Mm-hmm. That were damaged.
It's a big fucking wreck.
There were kids that... There was, like, a small, like, peroxide bombs at a school and...
What? I didn't hear about that one.
Oh, I didn't hear about that one.
There was a big sinkhole in Chicago and some earthquakes in Japan and China.
Some crazy redneck in Alabama tried to send ricin to the president.
I saw that.
And today, I don't know if you guys heard the latest, a fucking plane crashed today.
No.
Where? Yeah, a Cessna crashed just short of the airport, right outside these people's houses, and two people and a family pet were killed.
Wow.
This was in Virginia.
That's been a week of some crazy shit.
Yeah.
And then they've just now ended that, or the wrapping up the manhunt for the two motherfuckers responsible for Boston.
Yeah, one guy's dead, and the other guy's been taken alive.
There are some
amazingly
crazy fuckers. And
I was expecting them to kill his ass.
Well, considering that the guy that they killed had explosives strapped to his body, they were basically saying there's a low chance of him being taken alive because he could fucking try to suicide vest or something, you know?
But
they actually took him alive, and no other officers got killed in the capture of him. So
this is going to be something that we hear about for a while. And it affected, it affected the nerd community, too. Boston Comic-Con got canceled outright.
Oh. Did you hear that they took three other people?
Yeah.
Two men and a woman.
Oh, I didn't hear about that.
Yeah.
So it wasn't just the two guys, then?
Well, they haven't confirmed that those three are involved, but they've taken them in.
And questioning. Yeah. They may just know the people and are trying to get
more
information and maybe some of the reasoning.
So it's been a pretty crazy week out in the greater world.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Here in Dallas? Doing okay. I'm Saverin.
I'm Shiva.
I'm Fuzzwolf, and I'm also doing okay.
Yeah, it's one of those things where, like, there's all this crazy shit going on in the world, and I'm like, damn, my shit's okay.
Well, you know, our disaster will happen eventually. I'm serious. I'm like, you know, I was reading this article on The Onion that was like, this is the world we live in. And it was written to be sarcastic, but it was also sort of sadly true. That it's like, you have every opportunity of leaving your house one day and not coming home in the evening because somebody has blown you up for no reason, you know?
Because people are twats. Yep.
Yeah, we live in a crazy world. And remember, we nearly had, we've had a bunch of shit happen in Dallas, not this week, but just overall. But there was a couple of years ago that, was it here or was it somewhere down by Austin? Somebody tried to fly a plane into the federal building.
I think it was
there's actually somebody
Austin.
Who succeeded in Austin. They flew their plane into a tax office.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, that was down in
Austin.
Didn't
kill anybody but himself, but still.
And then we had, there was, some hostage situation at one of our office buildings, too.
Yeah. And wasn't there a couple of bomb threats downtown?
Mm-hmm.
But that's, downtown.
And this is one of those things where, the media really fucked up this whole situation.
Oh, God, yeah.
Saying shit and then retracting it and saying shit and retracting it. And
oh, my God, all the fucking conjecture. And you listen to five different channels, none of them have the same story.
Or they all have the same story because they took it from the Associated Press, who
got
were
it
wrong. Right.
Yes.
So they all get the same. And I saw a headline today, I don't know how true it was, but apparently, the internet was conjecturing shit to the point where the news was
picking it up,
and then the internet was retweeting the news, and it was this big circle jerk of misinformation.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like, ah,
yeah, that's the nature of 24-hour news. They're just like, well, They have to talk all the fucking time and repeat the same videos
and make up
how
shit.
Many times have we seen that shit explode at Boston Marathon? It's no less horrible. This 57th time we've streamed it.
I actually have not watched it or the West Explosion. I know they're both all over YouTube.
The West Explosion didn't actually get captured on video.
I saw I saw things saying that it was
captured. Oh, wait, no, that was right. There was
some guy with a truck.
That dumb motherfucker, yeah.
Dad!
With his kid in the car.
Dad, let's get out of here, Dad! It's like, holy crap.
Oh, and he's stopping to film?
Yeah, it's like some guy in his truck.
And he's filming
the smoke pile.
From like a mile away, which the guy probably thought, well, it's okay.
I mean, it's a mile away.
Yeah.
And it goes and like...
Shit flies at the camera.
Like, you know what I'm thinking of right now?
No, and then you hear this kid screaming, Dad, I can't hear. Dad, I can't hear. Ugh. Dad, let's get out of here. Dad, Dad. I mean, and it's outright true panic.
Oh, yeah.
And Dad, I can't hear.
So, that dumb motherfucker is probably going to get a visit from CPS.
Well, to be fair, he was a mile fucking away watching smoke. He didn't
filming know it was... a burning fertilizer plant.
Yeah, well.
He's just lucky this wasn't another Pepco or Texas City or Halifax.
Here's the thing. Apparently, and I was reading this on one of the media feeds, is they were storing ammonium nitrate there.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And when they made their declaration to the state on what they store there, they didn't happen to mention the 270 tons of ammonium nitrate. That they have. They had the other stuff, the tanks of this and that and the other thing. Wow. But they neglected to mention this highly volatile material in their hazardous materials declaration.
Yeah.
Whoops.
So Fuzz gave me this look of what? Pepco was a rocket fuel manufacturing company outside of Vegas in the 80s that caught fire.
Mm-hmm.
And it's highly explosive rocket fuel that's highly exploded.
Yeah.
And it was all caught on film because there was a TV repair crew fixing, like, antennas and shit up a mountain.
Uh-huh.
They were like, this shit's on fire. I've got a video camera. Let's watch it. Just like dumbasses do today.
Yeah.
And in this case, he got to catch both the explosions because the entirety of their stores went, and then a gas main underneath the building ruptured. It looked like a nuke went off.
Oh, wow. Damn.
And it was on captured on, like, VHS.
Hmm.
And Texas City was like in the 1920s or 30s, where something on the order of 2 or 3 like millions of pounds of an entire ship worth of fertilizer.
Oh, in the 1947 or something like that?
Something like that.
It was really
early. It went off, leveled part of the town. It's the ship's two anchors landed like 3 miles apart.
And the
opposite ends of the town. Well, and are now memorial parks. Well,
there was
landed.
Also, it caught another ship, the same stuff on fire, and then that one went off.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then Halifax was like during World War II, where a World War II munition ship that was scheduled to go overseas to the UK ran into an aid ship, and the resulting explosion killed 2,000, left 9,000 homeless, and completely eradicated two small towns.
Jesus.
So, it's been one of those things where you're like, people are comparing this to some massive thing, and I'm like, this is way bigger. This is other stuff that's way bigger.
Did you guys hear
Not that
about,
it's any less horrible.
I know I tweeted it earlier, or I know I put it on Facebook. Did you guys hear about the unlucky motherfucker?
Yeah, but the amazingly lucky motherfucker at the same time.
So there was this guy, he was a runner in the Boston Marathon. Cross the finish line, 30 seconds later, the bomb goes off. He goes back home to Texas. I think he lives in Waco or Austin, down south. Drove up to Dallas for a day-long meeting, was driving back, and he's like, oh, smoke, kaboom! And it's like, what the fuck? I guess his wife was standing like 10 yards from where the bomb went off in Boston, so she didn't get a scratch. But the woman next to her lost a leg, lost the fingers of her left hand, not a scratch on his wife. And then as he's coming back, there goes another fucking explosion.
Wow.
That's gotta be...
He burned all his edge.
Yeah,
my mate pointed that out the other day. He was like, well, they found the one guy that was at both explosions. And I was like, so him and his wife, they both survived?
So they're like...
Were their names Rory and...
I was going to say, they're reprising the role of Bruce Willis in Unbreakable.
Oh, yeah.
What a twist.
Mm.
So that's pretty fucked up.
Yeah,
the news has been insane. Like, it's actually really the day the Boston thing happened really depressed me. I had a hard time getting through work. I don't know what it is. Like, I've never lived there. I don't have family in that area, but it just really got to me.
I have family all up and friends and everything else all up in there and classmates, and I had friends that had. Family members down working the marathon that day.
Yeah.
And the person who's our class president from school, my graduating class, He's in broadcasting. And his affiliate was covering that particular, covering the finish line. And He got tapped to get sent to cover something down in New York instead. But he was one of the options to be sent up to the marathon that day. And he just happened not to.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, crazy ass week in the world of the world.
Yeah, it's really a depressing week. But you know, I mean, it's important to remember all the good things in the world,
all the fucking heroes involved in all this. You know,
yeah.
Mm.
The dudes that ran, like, there's that video of the bombing, and it happened right at the end of the line. So there's all these soldiers and policemen and first responders and EMTs. Those bombs go off. Those dudes run toward
the
explosion. It goes
kaboom, and you just see those guys in military garb and everything tearing down the barricade to get to people.
And then over to people that ran through the finish line and then ran another 2 miles to the hospital to give blood.
Yeah.
There were some of the runners and, like, crazy stuff. But
I'm just...
We were talking about the one guy... On the way home, we were talking about the one dude that was... squeezing this runner's artery closed.
I saw that,
as he was being wheeled by an EMT. And it's like, I don't think I would have the presence of mind to stick my hand into somebody's leg to know what was bleeding. I mean, I don't know if the dude had any medical background or anything, but...
He didn't. He just... I read that he just knew he had to stop this.
He was like, holy shit, this is bad.
Because I wouldn't even know what a fucking femoral artery looked like, you know?
Yeah, well, if there's blood coming out at that rate, you have to stop it. So, yeah, to be fair. Yeah.
But there's, like, so much blood and torn up flesh and everything, so...
They released a photo of the guy that was captured.
Oh.
And
we're back?
Yes. Brief technical difficulties. My microphone decided to start dying.
And robot. But
we're not sure if that's the mic or the XLR cable. If I go robot again, it's the cable.
Yeah.
we've had the same equipment for like 5 years, so it's time for us to start replacing some of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's due. I mean,
we have like one mic that died, a headset that died, a couple XLR cables that died. That's not a huge amount of money, but it's just one of those, I've got to go to Guitar Center.
Mm-hmm.
Or insert place here, wherever Panther wants to purchase it from.
Mm-hmm.
So,
ain't nothing wrong with Guitar Center.
No, it's actually pretty good.
Shall we start with the emails?
Yes, we've got a whole bunch of emails this week, so we'll just start at the bottom. Mark our way to the top.
Mark our way?
Mark our way.
Oh, bark?
Arf, arf, arf. Whatever. Read an email, Shiva. God.
Yow. I'm sorry. I don't understand this bark thing.
Arf, arf.
Jeez.
Okay. There's one that was like, would not read on air, so.
Yeah, I'm skipping that one.
So, a week late and Zomaga.
That's me. A week late and Zomagod. Greetings, not casters. What a week it's been, and by the time this is read, I will have been two. Where did my time go? Well, it doesn't help that I forgot to write this last night before you recorded. Derp. So, we have had the first ever Furthermore, and by all reports, it was a great success. We had 473 attendees and raised about $2,200 for our charity. I myself got to experience Con tangentially because of, as director of programming, I had a lot of run around and keep track of. I don't mind because I have been on record as saying that it's not a Con staff member's job to have fun. Nope. It's work. If you get to have fun, that's great, but you're there for the attendees. So this Con was a bit of putting my money where my mouth is.
Mm-hmm.
We had a few bumps on the road, some due to Gmail eating emails and not even having them end up in spam. Others were due to strange scheduling anomalies that happened involving my Con book. Some things were listed a half hour earlier than they were or a half hour later, but always a half hour wrong. And then there was a theft of our sign from panel room 4. After the Con, one of the people involved was dumb enough to post about it publicly on FA. The person has since apologized and reimbursed us for the sign since it was scribbled all over by people at a room party.
What a dumb cunt.
Just today, I was present for a home inspection portion of the house purchase that Manji and Ash are joining forces on, which was enlightening and also pointed out to me how much I missed on the walkthrough originally. But overall, I'm pretty confident this will go through, and it will be the first time I felt like I'd had roots down in a long time. Now for an actual question for you guys. The other thing is, as of last Friday, so 2 weeks ago for your listeners, I finally began the treatment for my sleep apnea. I feel so energized and amazing now, but I'm also realizing just how far behind I am on personal products and such. The exhaustion and depression clouded my perception so much that now I'm worried I've dug myself into a hole too deep to escape. I'd never been the most organized soul. Do you guys have any similar experiences of digging yourself out a hole and how you clawed out of it? I'm really curious. Thanks, as always, for the great podcast. And thanks to Fuzz and Sav for recommending the Jawbone Up to me. It's really already giving me useful data. All my hugs. You're once again bouncy and energetic Green Wolf Sparf.
Yay!
Fantastic, dude. I am glad to hear
so,
that you're getting that shit done.
So, I know Sparf.
Digging yourself out of a hole that you've gotten yourself in.
Well, first of all, let me say that, dude, I know exactly how you feel. Because I was in that exact same place before Fairy Fiesta. Mm-hmm. When I got my CPAP and started getting my treatment for sleep apnea. And the difference is night and day. You really feel like a whole new person. And I know for a fact the last few weeks my energy levels have just gone up and up. It is great. And when it comes to being a hole, yeah, it put me in a massive backlog on a whole host of projects, at least of all my audiobook stuff. I had just had no energy to do that shit, and I felt so far behind. I'm still behind, but I'm working hard on it now.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I would like to have some books done and out for the community to purchase, 'cause I've kind of owed this guy my work for a while. So, you know, I'm glad you're getting that handled. You got it handled. And the best way to do it is make a list, make an agenda.
Prioritize it.
Stick to it.
And realize it's going to take time. Nothing is going, it's going to be baby steps. And I've worked my way out of holes financially, and that's the biggest thing I can realize. It's not going to be fixed in a day, and live for the small victories. Like Saverin said, make an agenda, prioritize what do I need to do first. And if you've got several things with equal priority, close your eyes and put your finger down and start there. Organization is, it's a skill you learn. And part of it is learning to what's most important. And being able to stick to a game plan. And realize, look at things and it's like, do I really want to do all these projects? Am I tied down? Am I going to have the energy to do all of them? And be willing to let things go and give people your apologies. Maybe you can get to them someday, but not now.
Mm.
So.
Yeah, don't overcommit. I don't know if this is available on iPhones. I don't remember if you have an iPhone or an Android device, but there's a to-do list app that Tieran and I use. It's toodledoo.com is the website. And it's like To Do Pro or something is the name of the...
What are you...
And I you could prioritize in different ways. You could put them in different categories. You can mark whether something is not started, started, waiting, complete, etc. Give different things due dates and stuff like that. Google offers something similar, but this is actually has more options and is a little bit more customizable than the Google to do app thing. So, you know, if you're someone like me, that like it helps to like make lists and stuff like that to kind of keep track of shit or you forget. This is a neat little app. You could actually add a widget of various sizes onto your phone's home screen as well, and that you just flip to your to-do list basically and update it as you need. And what's cool is if you set up an email account and you sign into it, if you and someone you're working with, if you set it up so that you have the same email account, so like Tieran and I both use a special email that we set up and we both sign into it. So basically we've shared our task. We're both on the same task list, which for coordinating planning for planet stuff is actually really helpful, you know, and we each have like personal categories and stuff there as well. So that's my two cents, if that helps at all. And, oh, and my, my Jawbone Up unfortunately failed to charge.
Ever.
Like it came like 40% charged. So it lasted like 3 days and I was like, well, I'm going to charge this. And it never, ever charged. And I just finally got around to emailing them about it. After I tried to soft reset the hard reset, nothing worked.
Have they gotten back to you?
So they've gotten back to me. They're going to mail me a new one, and then I have to ship them back the broken one.
One thing the Jawbone is good about is if their ship breaks, they'll send you a new one. Panthers had like the rubber start to degrade or something because of his hideous skin. He has very, very acidic skin. He can't wear most jewelry, stuff like that.
He bleeds acid, like the things in Aliens.
Yes, he is. He's actually a part xenomorph.
Yes.
makes things very odd sometimes. Mm-hmm. Why does it burn?
He opens his mouth. The other little mouth comes out. It's like, hey there, little fella.
No. So, yeah, they're pretty good about fixing their shit.
Yeah. It doesn't work. They got back to me pretty quickly. So.
Unfortunately, a lot of their product is like you buy the first model of it and it fucking won't work.
Yeah.
And then they replace it.
So apparently the Up is on version 2. So that's probably what I had because I ordered it recently.
Yeah. And it's. They cover it, but it is inconvenient.
Yeah.
They don't have the best in terms of.
Quality control?
Quality control, but they do take care of their shit when it breaks.
That's good. You want good customer service, at least.
Okay, so we're going to go counterclockwise. Ooh.
Okay. I had to stop and think for a minute.
Yes.
Oh, speaking of clocks, oh, holy fuck. So the titles and preview posters of the last 4 episodes of this season of Doctor Who have been revealed. And just, oh, my God, I probably shouldn't talk about them on here because spoilers or whatever, but oh, my God. Oh my God, just the next 4 episodes look like they're going to be really good and just,
I haven't seen any of it this season.
Oh, we need to watch it and we can come together. It'll be awesome.
Okay.
I'm sorry, the gives me a nerd boner. And,
what do you do tomorrow?
On the topic of nerd boners. Today I registered for a Chicago TARDIS. So it's over Thanksgiving weekend.
Didn't you go last year?
No, I went in 2009.
Okay.
But to see the 8th Doctor, Paul McGann. This year, I am finally going to get to meet the 6th Doctor, Colin Baker.
Awesome.
Because I've met 5, 7, and 8, but I have not met 6. And he's 68, and he doesn't come to the States very often. And I've been wanting to meet him for years. So, and Perry is going to be there as well. So, it'll be a nice doctor companion pair. And they usually have like quite a few other folks as well. So, Thanksgiving weekend, Chicago, Illinois. I've got one other furry friend to share a room with me. You know, if anybody else, any other Who fags out there decide they want to go, maybe we can like meet up for lunch or something like that. So, So yeah, that'll be fun. I'm going to be geeking out again this year. Sorry, I had to share my Who faggotry. It is important to be in a Doctor Who con this year in November, because November of this year is the 50th anniversary, so it'll be extra special. So
that'll be nice. You know me, Colin Baker's probably my least favorite Doctor.
Colin's awesome. You've only seen the TV episodes, haven't you?
Yeah, we've been through that. It's like, and
I actually liked him on TV.
I thought he was a screaming asshole.
And it's kind of funny because he's had so many people come up to him since doing the audio plays, be like, "Oh, I hated you on TV, but I love you." And he on these audio adventures, and it's kind of like, "Well, thanks." .. Not quite sure what to say. No, I thought he was brilliant. There was a lot of BBC politics involved, and he had a couple of shit writers at some points. Mm-hmm. But I always enjoyed where they were. I saw what they were trying to do with the character. He was not given adequate time on TV to develop the character and take him in the direction that he wanted to go in.
Yeah, I know. What did you think of this last week's episode? I was kind of lukewarm on it.
Oh, I liked this more than the one the week before. Rings of Azkaban, Tara and I were both a little bit lukewarm on, because it just seemed like kind of a mishmash.
This last one, it feels like more like an old classic episode.
Oh, I know, it was great.
And I liked it for that one, it just didn't seem to fit with this Doctor as well as it could have.
But you see, I love the Ship in a Bottle episodes. Mm-hmm. They're all trapped in the sub. Mark Gatiss wrote it. He's a brilliant writer. It was nice to see the Ice Warriors back.
Yes.
I'm not 100% sure how I feel about the updates they've made to them, because, I mean, they never discussed one being out of its armor before, or it had never been implied before that they were something very different under the armor, that they weren't just your standard humanoid.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of like, I don't know, whatever. But then again, the Ice Warriors were only in like a handful of episodes.
Yeah, they're not one of the most well-known villains.
Yeah, but I think the modern technology did a great job of realizing them.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. Sorry, Savern, you want to read an email that's not about Doctor Who?
Yes, this one's about blood.
Blood?
Blood. Her blood.
Okay.
Moving back now. So, no subject. Hi, Notcast. First time writer, long time listener. I'm a college-going male fox in Texas. I have a bit of personal quandary going on, and I'd love some advice, starting from the least pressing up. I've had this issue for a good while, and it's bugged me quite a bit. I bought a toy, a recommendation of you guys from Adam and Eve, seeing quite a lot I would enjoy. Now, the first time using it was a bit awkward, but it was fun. The second time was a bit less awkward and much more enjoyable. However, since then, I've had an issue arise. I don't think it was the toy. If anything, it was the cheap lube I bought, but developed a small bleeding problem. Every other time I went, I'd bleed anally. Just a bit. I wasn't alarmed at first, but that kept going for nearly a year. And I had joked about it with my parents until suddenly got so bad I would bleed out enough that I would get a bit dizzy.
Ooh.
We went to the doctor, who sent us to the special rectal doctor, a buttologist, and I got a physical. He claimed that there was seemed to be nothing wrong, that it might be internal hemorrhoids. Mm-hmm. I was scared, and so I forced my parents to get me a colonoscopy just to make sure. After that, it was certain the issue was internal hemorrhoids. I asked what to do about them, and the doc said it should go away soon enough. I bit my tongue and let it go. I started using special remedies to fix it, but nothing seemed to work, and it's been more than 6 months since that last visit. It's really tough because they can't do anything anal without serious discomfort. Is there any tips or something you can offer? Secondly, I have a mate. That's that question. So we'll answer that.
Okay. First of all, paragraph breaks. Look into them.
Yes. It is one huge wall of text, but it's okay. It's some good questions. When it comes to stuff like that, you kind of got the short end of the stick. Short of, like, rather expensive surgeries that exist to take care of those hemorrhoids, like freezing that shit or something, I don't think there's anything you can do. It is a medical issue that you could have inflamed your butt with a lube you're allergic to. mm-hmm. Which is why you should spring for the good stuff. But I don't think there's anything you can do. It might just be something where you're just not able to do anal much. Because if it just hurts, it's not fun.
Yeah.
At least down there.
Yeah.
I've the stuff like that or anal fissures, you just have to hold on and not do it, which really sucks. I mean, it does because, you know, toys and such are really great, but if you're hurt internally,
you need to let it rest.
You gotta let it rest and heal and not do anything. Because, I mean, bleeding out your ass enough that you get dizzy, that's some serious fucking shit, dude. Don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It's not worth,
yeah. You
know. Yeah, and I guess sometimes...
Blood loss is not worth pleasure.
I guess they're always there, but they just inflame occasionally, and then they bleed or something like that. I mean, because I know they can freeze hemorrhoids off, but usually, like...
Yeah, that's only generally outside.
Yeah, I mean, usually they're, like... They can, like, get creams and shit like that, but, I mean, I don't know how far inside they are. I mean, part of me is like, well, stretch more, use a different kind of lube that is maybe less abrasive or something like that.
Or your body doesn't reject out of hand.
Less irritating to you. And yeah, that's a tough one.
I don't know medically enough to offer advice on this one.
Yeah, that's something that I would actually ask a doctor. What I would recommend to avoid the, embarrassment of having to avoid your parents, involve your parents and stuff like that. That maybe there's usually gay clinics here and there. I would maybe look into going to something like that. You know, maybe the same kind of place that do, like, the STD screenings and stuff like that can sometimes offer other medical advice.
Yeah, I really don't know, though.
Depending on if they have, like, an actual nurse on staff or something like that. Information from the internet might be a bit dodgy, but you might look at sites like gay.com and see if there's been maybe... I know there's got to be advice out there for people that have had to deal with this. Yeah. And, I mean, it may come down to what Saverin said, that you just shouldn't really bottom, you know, for fear of injury.
Do it minimally.
Yeah, because anal tissue can bleed easier anyway, because it's not really designed for...
Well, it's a mucous membrane.
Yeah. So it's already a sensitive area. And if you have something like hemorrhoids in there, making it even more...
Ouchy.
Not more ouchy, just more, I should say, not sensitive, but just more weaker, I guess, making the walls a little weaker and more prone to bleeding, then that's probably not something you want to push your luck with.
Okay, moving on to the next question. Secondly, I have a mate that's been with me about 3 months now, and I've been hurt a few times in the past. We're a long-distance relationship, and he's a few years younger than me. The problem is that I've been cheated on a lot before, and I'm really self-conscious and a bit shaken at this point, and I can't trust as easily anymore. He wants to be able to erotic roleplay with other furs online for fun, since he used to do it all the time. But since we got together, I made him stop because I wanted to be devout to him. I'm obviously in this for a much more serious relationship, and it seems like he's not ready for that. I've slowed down to his pace because I do love him quite a bit, but it makes him sad that he can't yiff people online like he used to. And then he said that he can't stay this way forever. I'm not scared that he might leave me. I know he loves me and I him. But I can't stand him getting off on someone else. That's my job after all, right? It's a really hard question, and I don't know if that's all the information you need for an informed and educated guess. But I'd really appreciate some feedback, Notcast. Thanks for your time. Anonymous.
Well, you're not going to like my personal opinion on this.
No, I don't think...
My personal opinion is get over it. Because online shit... really doesn't matter. I mean, I know technically your relationship right now is online, but it's kind of like...
Well, but assuming we're talking on the phone.
As long as you guys are talking on the phone or webcamming and just keeping in contact and sharing a lot more than you do with a typical sexting partner, you know, then your relationship's a different story. But online fucking around, I put way down there on the priority scale of shit to worry about.
Yeah, yeah. Really.
This is something you're probably not going to like, but when it comes to online fuckery, it's just online fuckery. I'm going to presume he's not talking to them and sharing deep life secrets and hopes and dreams and fears.
Yeah, and
he's like, I want to put my penis in your tail hole, Murr.
This is
not you.
Also, the other thing is, the whole thing about that being your job to get him off, I've seen people in real life relationships use that as an excuse for why.
For control.
For control that they shouldn't, their other partner shouldn't masturbate. Unless at all, because they're supposed to be having sex with their partner, and that's bullshit. You're both still going to get yourselves off, and he may or may not be fantasizing about you when he jerks off. So it's really one of those things that even in a committed relationship, people still have their own individual sexuality that they have to take care of themselves sometimes. And does internet using fur fags. TSing occasionally is one of those things. So I totally understand that you've been hurt before and that you trust very slowly. But if you lock your mate in a box, basically, if you constrain him, that's just going to make him resent you.
Yeah.
And by saying that it can't stay like this forever, kind of sounds like he's humoring you for now. Until maybe you kind of loosen up a little bit about it. But I would work to get over that and not let that bother you.
And to be honest, this isn't anything on him. This is something on you. You have to look at what's going on here. If he goes and he gets off with another dude, how is it harming him? And think about that long and hard. He goes off. He gets off with another person. He still loves you. He's still going to, you know, be your close bestie. Does it have any negative impact on you? Is he not going to be as attentive if he's getting off with other people? What? Usually this kind of thing comes out of fear. So you have to kind of look at it as, what am I afraid of? Am I afraid that he's going to go off and he's going to like this person better than me? Is he going to stop paying attention to me? Am I going to lose some aspect of him if he goes and he does this? And if there's any of these are yes, and it's a legit concern, if anything's not going to really come of it, it's not really much to be worried about. But again, this is based on fear inside of you. And that's usually where jealousy comes from. That's usually where possession comes from. And yes, I do agree that if you've been hurt in the past and you've been cheated on the past, you're going to be on the watch for this like a hawk. But he's not cheating. If he's up front, if this is, you know, discussed, this is not cheating. And so you shouldn't be treating it as such. If he's being honest, then, you know, it's a completely different ball of wax. So, but that's my two cents.
So
probably ready for the next one now?
Yep.
Okay. Archive. Addendum. Once again, Anon. Hey, stuffers of foxes and Savern. Unless he also stuffs foxes. Do you stuff foxes?
Well, he stuffs himself. Does that count as stuffing foxes?
Sure. Stuffception.
Foxception. I noticed some confusion on the email that you guys read, so I decided to write in again to clarify some things. Pardon me.
Thank you for being so...
That sudden insight.
I said, pardon me.
There's no pardon.
Because I'm a gentleman. Yes.
Uh-huh.
First and foremost, Fox never came. He wanted to, but ultimately declined due to finances, which is just as well since he would have been staying with me on an air mattress.
Ooh. That could have been awkward.
So.
What?
God.
It's just a captioned photo. We'll ignore it and go on. Sorry.
You are not helpful.
No, I'm so, not.
On to the next paragraph, because this guy uses a flamer, however, was an entirely separate incident that happened years ago. I was much younger, and that was the area that was very hostile to anything out of the ordinary. It wasn't religious, but it was the hood, pretty much. It sort of got out, and people actually openly called me a faggot. And there was one instance where I was quite literally bombarded with people in mock disbelief that I didn't like ladies, which I do. It was scary, but thankfully nothing went past...
You
don't
like chicks? What are you, gay?
He does like chicks.
Oh, shit.
What is he, bi? It was scary, but thankfully nothing went past words and snide remarks. And I think it was eventually forgotten. Didn't come up again, and I moved out of the more rowdy dorm to a better one. On the screen life slash real life transition, though, I've seen pics of Fox. He's pretty cute and pretty twinky. Also, I've sort of made it a point to not push my online self as somebody completely different. Then again, I think of myself as a very weird furry. A nana wolf. P.S. Does Saffron stuff foxes?
Yes.
I guess I preemptively asked that. Sorry.
Apparently.
So there. Clarification.
Clarification.
So there you go. The only fox I stuff is myself, I guess.
That counts.
Yeah. Sort of.
Sort of.
Hey. Off Tuesdays.
Over. I'm so hot.
Oh yeah, baby, don't stop.
Take that, you fox.
Yeah.
Take it where?
No, I'm sorry, we're completely wrong. Saffron's a fennec, so it's mostly just yap 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 yap.
Scree, scree. Shiva, read an email.
Oh, if I have to.
You do.
No, I don't read well. Let's see. First contact. Hopefully this makes it to the correct erect for ears. I'm a somewhat seasoned listener, having heard 40 to 60, as I could not find 1 through 39 on iTunes, or just me, maybe not. I don't know. I don't have much need for relationship advice, mainly because I'm single and haven't ever had a girlfriend. It will take me some time to get your response, but here is the question. I have a manuscript as well on the way to being publishable. How can I go about this? It's just over 200 pages. Has a sturdy plot, agonizing feels, and is almost tangible when read uninterrupted. Only my closest friends have been allowed to read more than a few pages, and I get a stroke to my ego with every new reader. My first priority is getting it copyrighted. I'd like advice on that, and may write a short something for the furries to get my writing out there before I release my magnum opus. If and when this furry project is finished, I would like you all to have first copies for opinions, edits, ideas, and recommendations to others. Excuse my grammar, I have precious little time to write this. I also have no persona, therefore no furry name, but I suppose I would be a wolf. I may write in short about my sexuality. It's something like how either Istanbul or Zap described theirs, progressing from straight to maybe oral, but never anal to full-blown.
To super mega homo gay.
So, getting your stuff copyrighted. That's in your territory, Fuzz.
Yeah, you don't really... There is an official, like, copywriting thing you can do through the government to actually claim, but generally people don't really do that. You know, getting a trademarks and stuff like that for your business identity is a different story, but pretty much when you publish something, it's copyrighted because it's going to be registered under your name with that date, etc. You can Google this if you wanted to look into it more, but it's not something that most people actually do officially.
Once it's...
air quotes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, the copyright remains with the author. So, you know, that's pretty universal. If you want to be 100% safe, you can look into the process. I think there's a filing fee and things like that. But
it starts getting wibbly. I looked into it a couple of years. It's a combination of easy and what the hell? Like, really, this is all there is to it? And this is all the law that's protecting my work? Okay. So.
Yeah.
Google's going to be your friend in this case.
You know, but I mean, when you're published, it's like we sign an ISBN to the book, so it's officially on record as being a published book in Bowker.
Mm-hmm.
It's a thing.
It's a thing, so it's all pretty official, and that all leaves a paper trail that can be basically proven, you know, when this work came into being and stuff for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you are pretty well protected, especially in the U.S. With our copyright laws.
Because, you know, China just doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah, I'm afraid so.
China doesn't.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, next email's nice and short and relates to something we all saw here, about last week or so.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. Subject,
latest episode 214, so 2 weeks ago. Hail!
It says hi with an exclamation point.
No. Hail! Hi! Words are hard.
Yeah, I saw this email. I was like, oh.
I was linked to your latest episode from 9th April because apparently I mentioned in there about the whole twink in the socks and the skirt riding a large chance. Yup. :3. I'm not upset or angry, just definitely intrigued. So just saying hi. Smiley face. Good soon. So yes, we were the one. This is apparently the guy who, we were like, oh my god, that's so fucking hot. Oh my god, splort, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And somehow
made your eye back even wider.
I'm just amazed that it somehow got back to him.
Yeah, yeah.
They were like, oh dude, we saw this and it was scathingly hot. I actually rolled back to him that it was like mind-meltingly hot and
Oh, really good. Did you ask if there was any more videos?
Oh, no. I was one of those. Maybe I should. Well, they're the name attached to it, so we can maybe look it up.
Yeah, yeah.
But
hey, are you going to answer, crowd? I want to come all over your face.
wear the skirt.
Yeah.
Wear the skirt. I'll make it worth your while.
Put your tits on the phone. No. Sorry, that's a reference to something else.
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure he doesn't have tits.
No.
He doesn't look like he's got enough body fat to have tits.
It's a GCC reference.
I haven't got to that one yet.
Put your tits on the phone. Yeah, it's great.
I'm still catching up.
Oh, okay. That's a while back. But, oh, thank you so much for writing in. Oh. Now I will have an email address to put to the anus.
Put them to the anus?
Yeah. You know how people say a name to put to the face?
Oh,
I'm just like, nah, I have an email address to put to the sexy skirt and the cock going up under it. Is it my turn now?
Yes.
Okay. Problem with a local. Dear Dotcasters, I am a breed-redacted puppy from a fairly rural area of North America where the furry community is quite small. As such, pretty much every fur is within one degree of separation from each other. A disadvantage is that this makes it hard to disassociate from any given individual. My problem, and you'll understand why I want to stay anonymous, is that there is a local fur, let's call him Joe, that I really wouldn't know how to deal with if he ever showed up to our local meet. So, a little background. Make the time travel flashback noise. That's right, Scoop. A fair time ago, I saw Joe's profile on FA and discovered that he is from my hometown. I decided to contact him and we traded IM handle. Very early in the conversation, he mentioned that he was happy to finally meet a baby fur, which struck me as odd, as that isn't the typical reaction from normal, air quote, furries. It all clicked in a, oh god, why sort of way, when he then mentioned that he was into cub porn. Insert screaming here. But wait, there's more! Well, I should read the rest of this like Billy Mays. Billy Mays here with cub porn! You get not only sexy for 1, 2, and 3, you also get a visit from Chris Hansen and the seat to take over there. All this for only 15 to 20.
Only?
Okay. Only, yes. Okay. I will continue now. But wait, there's more. He then mentions that he is also into bestiality, which would have been a lot less awkward if he didn't also mention that the previous night he went on a long walk, hoping to find a stray he could fuck. Soon after that, the conversation ended and Joe was blocked from my IM program.
Good job.
Good move. The only direct contact we've had since was a note he sent me months later telling me that I, as in my fursona, am cute. Normally, that is something I would take as a nice compliment, but considering his... I never know how to say that word.
His penchant for dogs.
And underaged characters, it really just left me somewhat freaked out. This puppy's not for fapping. Due to those two fairly unpleasant online experience, I have absolutely no desire to ever meet Joe. However, since this is a very small community, there is a non-trivial chance that he might show up to one of the local Fermies. I've already decided to skip any meet that Joe decides to attend. However, there is still a real possibility that he could show up to a meet unannounced. How would you guys and gal recommend dealing with Joe if he does show up to a meet, keeping in mind that I'd like to keep my interactions with him to a minimum while avoiding causing unnecessary drama? Cheers, Anonymous.
That's for us, not for the listeners.
That's for us. Okay. All right.
Okay, wow. I'm going to look this guy up on FA real quick. But here's the real question. Has he seen you picture real life? Right? That's a good question to ask yourself. Does he know who you are? Do you go by your FA handle?
In groups.
I'm going to assume the yes.
Because most of the time you do.
Because I go by Fuzzwolf. In groups, so I'm sure if someone found me and
it's like, oh, you're the Fuzzwolf.
Yeah, they, I mean, they would know who I am and immediately what I'm responsible for.
Let's see,
burning puppies.
Did you say burning puppies?
Yeah.
No, not at all. You know, I would just come clean with him. You know, first of all, don't feel that you have to shut yourself off from any aspect of the local furry community just because there's one creeper in the group, basically.
Yeah, unless he's an actual green creeper that'll run up behind you and explode.
I don't know what the fuck he just said.
Sorry.
So I'll continue.
It's a Minecraft reference.
Okay. All right. So I would continue to go to meets where people you like are at. Can you silence that tablet?
Yeah, it's tick, 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 tick.
Sorry.
He's using the ThinkPad instead of the iPad because she has got the iPad, and we have no idea how to silence the fuckers.
I'll try to find out.
Okay. I would, you know, just continue to enjoy your local community.
There's just a mute sound button.
Excellent. And, you know, if the dude approaches you and, because you don't know what he's like in real life, you know, and
some people have no filter online, but they're fine in person.
Yeah. You know, if he's friendly or tries to strike up a conversation, I mean, you could just let him know. If he starts to try to talk about any of this shit, you know, and just let him know, look, I am not into the cubbyifing. I am not into bestiality. I don't really want to
take part
to discuss this with you, you know, or just let him know that, look, the shit that you're into, yeah, kind of squicks me, you know, and I would rather not be around, you know, interact with you that much. I don't want to be friends with you. Basically be upfront with him. I know that that's difficult for people to do, but it's one of those things where it's like when it's a big open meet and you don't know who's going to show up. Yeah, he might get upset at that, but at least he knows where the boundary is now.
Yeah.
You know? And for all you know, he may be a perfectly reasonable person, apart from the dog fucking, in real life, as far as interacting with, you know, other humans.
What a fucking sentence.
You know what I'm trying to say, right?
I know exactly what you're trying to say. It's just such a Fucking awkward, weird
sentence. I know. I do not have a better way of saying, hey, apart from the dog fucking, he was a pretty nice guy. You know, it's sort of like, well, apart from the Holocaust, Hitler really liked his kids, you know, or whatever.
Well, the thing is that whenever you get a group of people...
Sorry, before somebody proclaims that I'm comparing dog fuckers to Hitler, I'm not. Go ahead, Shiva. I wanted to put my disclaimer.
Okay. In any group of people, there's going to be someone you don't like. It's going to be a social skill to be able to play nice with them anyways. This can mean that if he's on one side of the meet, you're on the other. If he comes over to talk, you politely go excuse yourself to refill your glass and strike up a conversation with someone else on the way back. There are certain avoidant things that you can do to avoid having to interact with this person without causing drama. And this is basically if you're looking for a way to continue to be social and not let this guy kind of cock block you from the rest of the group, it's going to be either up to you to come clean if he approaches you and starts pushing your buttons, the way Fuzz says, or you're going to have to be avoidant, which is just a social skill you learn. And it's finding excuses to walk away, to change the subject, to get away from something, but it's whether it's religion or politics or
dog fucking
and there's going to be some basis where you really don't get along with someone, and it's when they continue to push it on you, when you either avoid it or back away or something else, when it becomes an issue.
I'm just amused at the comparison. Dog fucking is the way in the light. You must join me in dog fucking. Hey, it will save your soul.
I don't know about soul, but the whole thing is it's basically if he pushes you, then it's an issue. If he doesn't push you, then don't worry about it. So there you go.
If he fucks a dog in front of you, call the police.
So that's the best I can say.
Okay. Oh, goodness. So, let's see. How many emails we have left at this point? We have 6 emails left. So, I think we're at a good point where we can actually stop and take a
break.
Quick break. We'll find the item from Adam and Eve. I'll play some random song that you'll never hear of again because reasons. And
I'm going to look for something to stick in somebody's butt on Adam and Eve.
Yep, that's important. Be right back.
Define me with all your words, then find me a lesson to be learned. You can brand me or burn me, and I won't let it hurt me.
Define me as what I am, and try me as just a simple man. I'm no harm to you, I'm just doing the best I can.
And if I'm defined by what I do, then what am I supposed to call you? The shadow of a broken past you abused.
And if I can stand on my 2 feet, I'll break the wall where we will meet. I'll document our combination for you.
We're starting this party tonight, where people will be undefined and love who they want when the judgment is done and won't have to hide.
Starting this party right now, where people can shake off their doubts and send out their love as it moves through the crowd and people can shout.
love a man,
or they love a woman,
and no one will be judged for love, and I can't be judged for who I am. Define me with broad cliches,
but I won't undergo any hate for a stranger's mistake.
I've struggled through the boundaries of society's need.
Now I'm not trying to please.
It's freeing to find me as God's child.
I'm human and we're all in the wild.
This earth is as much mine as yours in the end, so let's unite as friends. And if I can lie in nature's bed without the roses killing me dead, I think the earth has got a point and we're a moving joint.
And if I can say my prayers at night, I think I'm doing something right. Let's open up a song of safety and carry through the night.
We're starting this party tonight, where people will be undefined and love who they want when the judgment is done and won't have to hide. We're starting this party right here, where people will shake off their fear and mass tolerance is replaced with resistance, and
everyone cheers
that they love. Or they
love a woman,
and no one will be judged for love,
and I can't be judged
for who I am. You love a man,
we're starting this party tonight.
Love a woman,
people will be unified.
And no one will be judged
love
for
love,
and I can't be judged for who I am.
Okay.
Yeah.
It sounds like the radio.
Actually, it's fucking too far.
Oh, I thought you were going to kill Fuzz with the pointy end.
Well, he catches me with the counterbalance end.
Well, I would have to do, you know, this because it reaches.
You'd have to reach around.
And we are back. The song was Define Me.
So, this week on Adam and Eve, I was looking through some of their new products, and I saw this, and it's like, that looks like something out of Sailor Moon. So, this week we have the...
That dildo is so cool!
It kind of is.
Oh, no.
The product this week is the Crystal Heart of Glass. It's a glass dildo with a flared base, and it's got this little heart grip at the end. So it looks like if you grab the shaft, you're going to have this little glass wand with like this little heart on top. It looks like something out of fucking Sailor Moon. It's kind of neat. Not gonna lie.
It looks like Princess Cadence's horn.
It kind of does. I mean, it's all wibbly.
That's how she spread love throughout the land.
I mean, I just look at this like it looks like something out of
Sailor Moon.
Sailor Moon, yeah. And it goes in your butt. So it is.
I'd love to see the transformation scene.
I know. That's why I think, shoop.
And then sparkles everywhere.
So it's for vagina or anal. It's got a flared base, so it's safe for that. It's 1.5 inches wide, and it's 5.5 long, so it's not that big. It's made from hypoallergenic and shatter-resistant glass. It does come with a plastic case to protect it. You can heat it up or you can warm it down. Warm it down. Heat it up or cool it down.
I love those little verbal faux pas.
Which I am full of, thank you.
Yes.
You don't beat Saverin's gay literacy bill from last week.
We must teach our queers to read.
No, not much can actually beat that. So it's $39.95 and it is back ordered, but they should have a new stock in the 5th of May. But even though it is
pity it's not in time for the 1st of May.
I know. So, but we have our coupon code as always. It's KNOT.
Not.
It'll save you $8 or so in shipping, and it'll take half off that, so it's $19.98. Which is not bad for a high-quality glass dildo.
Yeah, plus, those are usually pretty pricey.
Plus, since it's over $17, you get the bonus stuff with it, too.
That, too. So. I just look at this little wand with its little heart, and it's like, that belongs to a twink. It really needs to see a twink parading around with his little magic wand.
Yes.
That would spin around in the skirt.
Oh, and then when using it, bend over, a little heart sticking out the butt.
Yes. That's exactly what I saw.
It just makes you look, oh, that's so cute.
Holy shit.
So, yeah, I thought that would be fun.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So
if you can warm it up, you just stick it in the oven for a couple of hours.
Only if you want to kill your partner. You never want him to use his ass again.
Mm-hmm. Yeesh.
So the song, actually, I forgot the guy's name immediately after I said it. Mm-hmm. It's Define Me by Ryan Amador featuring Joe Lambert.
Ah.
It's called Define Me. So it's pretty cool. You just heard it.
5 minutes ago or so.
Yeah.
So you can Google it on the YouTubes.
The dude is selling it on Bandcamp, and 100% of the proceeds go to some LGBT youth organization. I forget which one.
Oh, okay.
Super.
Awesome. It's cool. So it teaches gay kids to read.
Yes. The riot.
You're never going to live that down.
The Saverin organization for gay foxes who want to be gay and want to learn to read and do stuff gooder.
Yeah, I was thinking that. How can they learn to read if they can't even fit inside the building? It needs to be at least 2 times this size.
So, anyways, who got that last email?
I don't remember.
I've already archived it, so I don't remember either.
So that was from Problem with the Local, so
I think I read that one.
Okay, so Shiva.
Alright.
Subject line. We have some fantastic topics. Email topics as we email subjects.
It actually is subject line.
Subject line.
Hey there, Notcast. Certain super long-time listener, first-time writer. Yay. Love the show. Thanks for good times. I've listened to all your episodes in creepy stalker fashion.
Oh, yeah.
Hands off, cock in hand.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I know you guys like con.
That's exactly how we record the show, too.
Shiva's.
Especially Shiva. Well, Shiva just plays with her magic wand.
I know how you guys like con reports and seeing how Furry Connection North in Novi, Michigan?
Michigan, yes.
Yeah, fuzzy pronunciation of Novi and previous, well, correct, was sounding to local ears.
Novi, the I is pronounced like I.
It's Novi instead of Novi. I guess. Was just wrapped up this weekend. I thought I would take this opportunity to write in. This is my second year at the con, and this is also my second time ever at a furry con. The panels were fun and had variety. Uncle Kage was there, and he had a blast. And the sponsors now lounge had amazing beers. Dragon Milk, Hard Cider, and Frankenmuth Dunkel. And good food. The con space is pretty small, but it's extra cool to have that small con feeling after going to so many massive anime cons. At the dealer stand, I bought $50 worth of Rabbit Valley's porn, got my first packs of Ferraticon cards, and a couple other miscellaneous comics and stories. Last year, I was super awkward and didn't get a lot out of the con, but this year was super amazing. So, you guys coming next year? Drinks on me. Uninterestingly yours, Shiro Usagi. P.S. Sexiest voice is Fuzz, but only when he's verbally abusing Saverin. So sexy.
You hear that, bitch?
No.
Yes. Okay.
Master will do.
But I can't talk with my...
Okay, well, yeah, for Connection North, it could be a thing. It's kind of way the fuck up there.
Yeah, it's pretty far away. We haven't added it to our schedule just because of time off availability, distance, and April is like the first month of the year where I don't have a con. So I sit down and catch up on paperwork and shit like that. So it's kind of like our break and catch up and prep for Anthrocon time frame. So I'm maybe not, probably not, you know, maybe Saverin and Chiba can go to.
Mm-hmm. We'll see. Okay. Next email is titled Got Lost While Finding Myself. In the fandom, it seems like a lot of different furs bring amazing work to the table. Being amazing work. Yeah.
But my real question is, what is this table that everybody brings things to? Can you tell me about it? Is it available at Target? Will your coupon code work if I order it from Target's website?
Only at IKEA. The coupon code's BORK.
Bork.
Anyways, they're amazing fursuit makers. They're digital artists, plushie makers, painters, musicians, comedians, storytellers, authors, and many or more artists. I'm 19, just turned 19 the day after Christmas, and I'm in that finding yourself stage. I've tried making fursuits, but can't make a good head. I can't do digital art well. I stab myself in the finger every other stitch when I try to make a plushie. I can't paint. I lack the ability to make a decent song, and I can't sing and constantly trip over my fingers when I try to play instruments. I drag things out far too far before I can get to the punchline. I come up with decent stories, but I tend to ramble. I lack the ability to go in depth and add meat to the skeleton that is basic plot. Most others have that I have similar problems with. There's one thing that I've found I have a decent innate ability for, making up new mixed drinks. Problem, I'm 19. Shh. Other than that, do you have any information on that wayward adventurer such as myself might use to find a way for my quest for self-discovery? How do I find what I'm good at? Seeing just how deep the rabbit hole goes kind of hurts, Legion Bunny.
So he's trying to earn his cutie mark.
Yeah. Well, I'm kind of like... Oh, go ahead, Shiva, sorry.
When it comes to anything, it takes practice. It takes work. You can bet that the first art I did looks pretty pathetic. It's still up on VCL if you want to see it. And I've seen some of the first heads that suit makers came out with. They are not pretty. You have to try, figure out what you did wrong, try again, try a third time, and keep on trying. You have to make mistakes until you learn the right way. If you enjoy something, keep at it. If you enjoy the learning process that goes into making something, then that might be something that you're talented at.
Yeah. You have to find what you're good at, but doesn't mean you're going to be immediately good at what you do. Find something you want to do and then do it. Practice makes perfect, like Shiva said.
And something you enjoy practicing, yeah, too.
You will never get good at something if you don't keep at it. And you're not going to be good at anything you do the first time around. Be it art, music, stories, cooking, sex.
Yeah.
You know, anything you do the first couple times is not going to be the best. You know, I mean, I would jokingly say, oh, well, look at us. I mean, we've been doing podcasting for 200 plus episodes.
And we're still not good.
Wait, no. That's not true at all.
So, I'm kind of going to echo that, but I'm going to say, you're only 19 and you've apparently attempted quite a bit, which kind of tells me that you haven't put a lot of time into any one of these particular vocations. Another thing is, you're 19, you're worried about finding yourself. That's normal. Everyone worries about finding themselves. I figured out
the couch.
What I figured out what I wanted to do with my life and asked that eternal what I want to be when I grow up question when I was 31. That was when I discovered what I really wanted to do was be a publisher, and that's why I bought For Planet. And I was 31. Not everybody can answer that question when they're 16 and they have to pick a college major and start working towards it. You know, your counselors and everything will expect you to be able to do that and declare a major and stuff like that. But so many people don't do that.
Yeah.
And so many people years later have a degree in accounting and they're working in a call center or things like that. You know, just or people that have a degree in music and they're working as an accountant. I mean, it goes both ways with arts and business. And
well, like, I worked on an arts degree, and I'm in computing.
Right.
You know, I mean,
I have a friend of mine has a degree in economics, and he just opened his own comic shop.
So, yeah.
So, you know, kind of a million miles away, because it's like one was, you know, quite a bit different from the other. So, yeah, it's going to take a while to find yourself. It may be a lifelong struggle.
Enjoy the travel in getting there.
Yeah, life is the journey, not the destination. And finding yourself is kind of much the same way. But also, like both of these guys have said, you know, if you want to actually try something and get good at it, you have to keep at it. You know, those Olympic-level skaters, they skated every day since they were 5 years old to be able to compete at that level. They didn't just get good like that. Back when Foxfire was drawing a lot, mm-hmm. and like his later stuff was like just really amazing, and he did this amazing coloring, like layers and layers of marker, and then shaded and tweaked just right with some colored pencils. It was amazing how well he worked in traditional media. And then I saw an early picture of his from like 97,
mm-hmm.
and it was about on the level that I could draw at. And the reason I can't draw like Foxfire can is while he took that drawing and drew constantly for years and developed his skills and took art courses or not, I don't know for sure, but he worked and worked and worked and he got to that level that he was at. And I would still draw this crappy, rough-looking little furry, you know,
mm-hmm.
because I chose to develop myself in different ways from that. But the point is, you know, and the stat I heard from one artist is that you'll draw 1,000 shitty drawings before you draw the one that you're actually satisfied with.
Yes.
So yeah. It's all about effort, and it doesn't come instantly.
And like I said, it's like, okay, you didn't make a good fursuit head. Did you enjoy playing with the materials? Did you enjoy experimenting? I mean, that's half of it as well. If this didn't work this time, do you see a different way to try it? And you look forward to trying that and see how it comes out? That's the kind of thing that you got to look for maybe this is for you. You enjoy the process as much as you enjoy the final product.
And I will give you some feedback right now on if you wanted to be a writer, you really need to study up on grammar and proper punctuation.
I'm just cleaning that up.
There's not a single capital letter in this email, and that includes I, and
very few little punctuation.
And very little punctuation. And I know I have had folks say, well, it doesn't matter. It's only an email. It's only a tweet. It's only a live journal comment. Bullshit. If you want to be a writer, you write properly and use correct grammar and punctuation every time you write. And you don't get lazy and you take it seriously. And this isn't, I'm not just beating up on Legion Bunny here. I'm just putting a shout out there to anyone that says that they want to be a writer. Don't write shitty emails to the show saying that you want to be a writer. Proofread that shit, you know?
And make everything practice and exercise. Yeah. So you're always cleaning up and improving.
Because even when you're like, when you get to a job, if you have to write email at all, which I do occasionally at work, you want that shit to be professional, and that includes using proper punctuation and grammar.
Yeah, that's 90% of my emails at work is half of my job is support via email. So I have to write very clear, very concisely, and it has to be polished.
I tell you, it's really disheartening the number of younger people, especially that just completely they just slag it off. They don't appreciate the importance of good grammar and everything. And I was actually told that it was elitist to expect good grammar on FA comments. that I was being elitist. And I was like, I'm sorry, elitist or not, if I see an FA comment with really shit grammar and spelling, I assume that person's an idiot until proven otherwise.
Pretty much.
You may say that's fair, but fuck you if you're not an idiot. Write properly. Write more gooder, as they say.
Write like you would speak. If you don't want to sound like, I think you're... If you want someone to respect you, type the way you would speak. And not like you're a fucking retard,
Yeah. If you want really good examples of this, watch the YouTube series Your Grammar Sucks. Mm-hmm. It's really funny. They read out loud verbatim comments from YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, journal posts, etc. And point out how... And you realize when it's read out loud how hilariously bad people write. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh my God. Learn the difference between lose and loose. It's not that hard. Mm-hmm. Anyway, moving on.
I read that one.
Read that one? So that's Savard's turn.
All right. Down to four after this one.
Okay.
Subject: inexperienced with toys. Dear Knockcast, I'm a new listener and have a few questions about the products of your sponsors. Some new to this type of stuff are the toys, and I'm looking around for a suitable and pleasurable item to have inside my ass. I have found this item on the website, and I don't know if it would be a good starting item or what it would be a good lube for someone who's inexperienced with toys. Perhaps you could offer some good toy lubes that Adam and Eve will offer, perhaps the kind you like to use the most. The Fluff Dragon of West Texas Twilight Dragon. So, I have to open the email.
So let's take a look. It's the Men's Pleasure Wand. Mm-hmm. It's $29.95.
It's got 3.5 stars with 118 reviews.
Okay. That's fairly positive. The magic wand for your prostate. Slide the Men's Pleasure Wand vibrator into your back door and feel the orgasmic magic happen. If you want a great prostate massage plus doing vibrations for your balls, this is a sex toy for you. You know, it is nice to see a male sex toy that doesn't forget attention to the balls.
Yay. Mm-hmm. It looks like it says, make sure to use plenty of anal lube.
What are the, does it say any here, the dimensions of the insertable part?
No, it doesn't look very big at all.
Length is 5.5, width is 1 inch.
Okay.
Material is jelly.
So what I wanted to be sure of was whether it was good for a beginner. And, 5 inches long, 1 inch wide shaft. That's pretty waterproof. Good. Oh, that's nice. You can play in the shower. Mm-hmm. So the only, lube that I found on Adam and Eve, which Avery had recommended, was Pure, which is the premium silicon lube, which I actually ordered my last bottle of Pure from Adam and Eve because I could use our coupon code.
Yay!
And it made a very expensive lube at actually fairly reasonably priced. Like, I think it brought it down to like $9 or something.
And
like
that's perfectly reasonable. Because, I mean, you don't want to skimp out on lube. It's really important.
Yeah, there's three things you don't skimp out on: shoes, mattresses, and lube.
Mm. Yep.
Mattresses.
Yes.
Oh, God. So much worth spending money on.
They do have, like, butt lubes, anal lubes. Where is it? Wit Uranus. I don't see the Pure on here.
I ordered it on here. Maybe they just had it for a limited time or something. I don't know.
It may be under their water-based. Or is it silicone?
It's silicone.
Silicone. Silicone.
There it is. I searched for Pure. It's paid PJUR.
Okay.
It was originally called Eros, and actually still says Eros as well. Oh, they have two of them now. The original Aerospotty Glide. Now they have the Natural Glide. And I bought the black one, the original Aero, since $22.95, but the coupon code saved 50%.
So yeah, use that. Just be careful that if you have a silicone sex toy, you do not use silicone-based lubes.
Is that sex toy
silicone? It says it's jelly, so it's non-silicone.
Oh, okay, good. So you should be good to go with that, then.
ID Millennium. Expensive. Wow.
How expensive?
$36.95.
But with our coupon... No, I'm kidding. We'll stop the shilling now.
Wet Platinum Glide. I mean, there's some really... Yeah, I don't think Avery said wet, though. Was
good. No, wet's horrible.
Don't get wet. ID Millennium?
I don't remember.
I said, the only one he said that he liked that's on this site was J-O. Pure.
And okay. J-O.
Is J-O on here, though?
Yeah, J-O's on there.
Yeah, System J-O silicone. So, Pure and Silicon System J-O. Those are the lubes you should buy for butt toys that are jelly and not silicone.
Right.
And I'm pretty sure there's Pure water-based, too.
Oh, is that what the other natural...
Well, I see there's a silicone one. I'm going to look...
But yeah,
for the black one is silicone.
With the coupon code, it makes this really affordable. Yeah. So.
Yeah, there's System J-O flavored lubes. There's System J-O anal water-based. So, yeah, System J-O, don't get Astroglide. It's not good for your butt.
Not stay away from wet. Stay away from pretty much almost anything you can find at Walmart.
Yeah, sadly. Yeah, they do have System J-O in the water-based. Looking through... There's J-O for men, lubricant. So, which is System J-O. Looking. One more page of stuff, and I'll be done. So, at Adam and Eve, you should get the System J-O for water-based, or... Pure for silicone.
And keep in mind, there's other resources other than Adam and Eve. It's just that's the only one we can offer a discount on.
Holy shit. A gallon of wet is $124. Don't get that, kids.
But you can, like, spray yourself with it.
You can buy a 55-gallon Dremel lube on Amazon. I'm not kidding.
I know.
Yeah, we talked about this a couple weeks back. Okay, ready to move to the next one?
One of my chat rooms I was in changed its name to the such and such fuck pile. 55 gallons of lube gone in 12 hours. And okay. It's totally not anything related to that. It's just somebody screwing around.
Mm.
So, your turn.
Okay. Pull up my mail programming again. All right. And that was that one. That's archived. And this one is... Okay. An endorsement, :3. Dear Notcasters, no real question this week, but I do want to thoroughly endorse something which Shiva said last week. During your talk about what differentiates fucking and lovemaking, Shiva mentioned that for her, lovemaking is the kind of act where before and afterwards, you're talking, giggling, just having fun being together. I can wholeheartedly agree with this. Nothing makes me more warm and gooey in both the sappy and sexy kind of manner than the thought of snuggling with my partner, making him laugh, cry, and laugh out in pleasure. Making him smile, laugh, and cry out in pleasure. Sorry. Making him cry, laugh, and cry some more. All in the same wonderful bout of bedroom-based antics. Also, you asked in your journal if people would share their favorite furry phrases. I can't comment on that per se, though the word mer is fun. However, I will share with you this furry-related Cards Against Humanity custom card, which has recently been added to my deck, and will join the ranks of those played at almost every Dundee fur meet. Foxes are so stretchy, you can fit blank inside them. Any good suggestions from you, Casters of Knots? Bonus points if you use an actual Cards Against Humanity answer. Ever enthusiastic, Jeeves the Roo, Scotland. Well,
the Hindenburg.
You can never go wrong with the Holocaust.
I'm trying to think of one that'll one up that. Ronald Reagan.
Oh, Rosie O'Donnell.
I'm sorry. When you play Cards Against Humanity and you're playing with Diddy and he plays one of the Holocaust and or Nazi cards, he tends to automatically win.
Yes, very true.
Because nobody else will dare play it against him.
Yeah.
All right, so my turn?
Yes.
All right, so we're on our final two emails.
Mm-hmm.
Those doodies.
Let's see, Dragon in Distress. I'm the dragon in question for the Foxes episode 215 email, and I'm ready to provide some clarification over my lover's email. Before I get to that, I would like to say the following. Just because you're a man doesn't mean that you shouldn't ask for help. I was raised under the belief that it is socially unacceptable for a man to ask for help when he needs it. No welfare, no food stamps, no talking out personal issues, etc. This and other situations, past events that I will not discuss, have led to my current mental health issue. I am currently getting help, and I'd like to say to all the guys and girls out there that it's not a bad thing to ask for help if you need it. It's not a bad thing to go to government services if you absolutely need them. Just because you need food stamps to get by doesn't make you a bad person. Use the assistance to get on your feet again and then get off it. My pride almost cost me my house and my future in college and the military, as well as my life. I'm more than a little embarrassed that I have to be on medication, government assistance, as well as seeing a shrink, but I now realize it's better than killing myself out of pride shame. I also like to say thank you to my good friends and family for keeping me from making the worst mistake of my life. Now to clarification and my questions. The relationship I'm currently in with a fox is better described as a V than a love triangle. Lion is across an ocean, and I'm across the border from fox. I love fox. Lion loves fox. I don't have any feelings for Lion, but he doesn't have feelings for me. We're just friends. Fox has declared Lion as a mate, but has no qualms.
His main mate.
Main mate, but has no qualms cyber me. Now, I have a large chance of seeing and thus yiffing Fox in real RL in the future, since the distances involved will be cut down to less than 100 miles. To be on the safe side, as Fox has declared Lion to be his mate, I asked Lion his opinion on the matter. Lion said that, and I quote, "What happens does occur on its own accord. I'm not going to ask bitter or spiteful to either of you. I don't own Fox, and I surely can't expect him to commit when the proportions are this massive." I think he's talking about distance. "It's all part of Fox's decision regardless, but I'm going to ask that you don't think Fox would take it lightly. It's not one off that just happens. You look after each other in this event. This isn't just about sex, is it?" To which I respond, "No. He's done a lot for me, and I love him. I just want to make him happy, and I think I can make him happy. I do not expect for us to yiff, but it's a possibility. He did choose you over me, and he seems happy with you, and thinks part of me thinks I should back off and not even try anymore." Lion responds, "Then maybe that part is paranoid. I've already said I have no grudges against his decisions. Chances are, if anything happens, you can make him truly happy, happier than emotional messages exchanged over the internet, and hopes that something will work out. It makes little sense to reject our emotions and people we would like to be with at present for a single person whom we have never actually met. Now for the questions. Should I keep trying to get with Fox, as I will be near future within driving distance of him, or should I back off? Am I right to be concerned that Lion doesn't seem to have the same feelings for Fox than Fox has for him? I just want my best friend/lover to be happy. I don't care if he's with me, Lion, or if he finds someone else nearby. I just want him happy with someone, and I'd like to be the one he's happy with. However, he does think with his emotions, then with his brain sometime, and I'm concerned he's attaching himself to someone he has very little chance of having, instead of being with someone he's realistically more likely to meet. Sorry for the wall of text. Love the podcast. The advice helps a lot. From your friendly neighborhood dragon. P.S. I honestly can't decide on a persona. Being a dragon is just a placeholder for me, even though it's been a placeholder for 4 years running." If it's been a placeholder for 4 years, that's not really a placeholder.
Your place is now held as a dragon. Your soul is now decided.
You might want to put the tilt on it and pick a particular kind of dragon or a dragon hybrid, but 4 years just kind of...
You are now a jello dragon.
Yes.
So choose your flavor.
From now, this whole thing that I'm reading, it's like, It sounds like they haven't actually met in person, Fox and Dragon.
I don't think any of the three of them have met in person.
That's going to be my primary thing. It's like, dude, meet in person. See if you click in person. If you do, then you click. If you don't, then no worries. You know? I mean, until you guys go out and have coffee, you know.
Yeah. It's the all ball's theoretical. Still in the air.
So, yeah. I don't know if I would actively pursue him, like, make it known to him, like, dude, I want you.
I want to be inside you.
Well, we know that part. But does he want his paw in marriage?
But, yeah. Oh, throw things.
I just died.
God, I blinked there because I actually thought you had something here.
The finger puffs are over there.
Oh, okay.
I'm mentally throwing them at you.
Throwing things with our minds.
Something broke in my cubicle. I don't know if I would actively pursue him. I mean, I would definitely still keep in touch with him and all that stuff, but I don't think anybody needs to be making a decision when one guy is across the ocean or one guy is 100 miles away or over the border.
Yeah.
So to me, this sounds like a Canada, United States, UK situation, yeah. I think.
Yeah, those are surprisingly common.
So it's kind of an isosceles triangle.
Yeah, so handle it in person first. See if he even turns your crank when he gets into...
It could be that all this existential angst is about a person who, if you meet them in real life, doesn't get your boner up.
Yeah, there could be some sort of hideous ham beast or something. You don't.
Well, not even that. It's just the person. If you don't click, you don't click.
Yeah,
it is what it is.
So you know, take things out of the theoretical. Go down and meet Fox. For coffee, don't go up there with the intention of, I'm going to stick my dick in you.
Go have coffee, go see a movie, hang out, play a game, get to know the guy face to face because they're going to be different. And even if you've talked on the phone, then on the internet. So,
yeah.
Get to know the real life him and then start asking these questions.
Hey, Fox, would you like some cream for that coffee?
Okay. So. All right, so
I should have read this
last
one.
Email. Well,
you can answer it.
It would be too biased if you read it.
Ah.
Subject: what makes TARS appealing, Redux? Hey guys, resetting this email because you mistakenly filed it as having already been read when in fact it never was.
Okay.
Told status: Knights of the Told Republic. You're not cast. This is mostly directed at Shiva, but everyone else can chime in if they have anything to say. Despite being a TAR myself, I've always had a certain curiosity about something. What makes TARS slash Jaquettes appealing, especially to those who have them as their personas? The best I've been able to come with is that being a TAR complements a lot of other fetishes very nicely. A hyperphallic cock seems to better fit being on a TAR instead of a normal anthro, and when indulging in vor, I have more than twice as much belly space to fill. Not to mention the big feral paws and almost guaranteed size difference between myself and my partner. Of course, TARS is a fetish in and of itself, at least to me, but I digress. Not all the appeal from TARS is sexual to me, though. I can't quite place why. I find them generally neat and interesting. I suppose the answer could be as simple as the same reason you find anything else neat and interesting, but I like to think there's more to it than that. So I asked Shiva, as a fellow TAR, what made you choose to be a Jaquette? And to dig even deeper, how did Jaquettes and TARS become a large-ish part of the furry fandom in the first place? The jump from that particular aspect of Greek mythology to the furry scene seems kind of convoluted, especially considering how more or less the unconventional TARS are compared to every other type of persona. I might just be thinking too hard about this, but would like to hear your thoughts regardless. Thanks. Smiley face.
So, why TARS?
Yeah, it's a good question.
Well, I can say
why? Yeah, why are you so retarded?
So, I can say why Jaquettes are such a big part. Bernard Duve, who's a persona or main avatar's Goldfur, created a universe, commissioned a larger part... wrote a bunch of stories about it,
mm-hmm.
published them where people read, got other people enthused, commissioned a bunch of art, and they just, people liked him, and they took off. And there's a large amount of source material.
Mm-hmm.
He created a website where he laid down a lot of the rules. There's anatomy guides, this is what makes a Jaquette, and there's a large amount of material around him. So mm-hmm. that's why Jaquettes are out there, is because there's a person... who said, here's the thing.
Didn't they start out as Star Trek fanfiction?
Yeah, they did.
So.
Yeah.
They started out as Star Trek fanfic. There you go.
Because
they,
what is it, Maress, her name is? Or
no, Maress. They were just I remember reading, like, coming across some really, really old scans of, like, describing how Chakats are this super hardy worker race.
Well, kind of, his they universe.
Oh, we should totally enslave them.
Well, they're not workers. They're smart and hardy. They can handle shit that humans couldn't.
Well, that was one universe where basically morphs were a created race. And the Chakats were not created to be in that vein, but that's where all the anthro species in that universe. And it did heavily, and still somewhat does, tangent from Star Trek fan fiction. But it's taken a complete left turn and become its own thing.
That was back in what, the late 80s, late 70s, early 80s? The dude's been around forever.
Yeah, I don't remember, but I know that he was well established when I came on the scene in 97. So,
back when they still had, you know, stone modems.
And muds and such like that.
So, I find this all very dubious.
And the guy still shows up at Collins, I think. And yeah, he still writes stories.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. He still goes to AC every year. He'll swing through Texas. I've said hi to him a couple times when he's come through. So, as for why Chakat, I've always liked centauroids. You know, I like that in Greek mythology. I like Chakats over, like, the centaur, because if you think about the way a cat is built, they seem to better be able to, I don't know, get through doors, get upstairs. I've seen a pony try to walk upstairs. It is awkward as hell. Yeah, we had a pony growing up. She got out. She came up onto the back porch and said, hi. It was like two flights of stairs. We came out. There's a pony on the deck. It's like, shit. Getting her back down again was difficult. And ever since that episode of Horses and Stairs, I had a hard time picturing centaurs in any kind of modern stair-based settings.
Why am I so awkward?
So they're kind of like original Daleks.
Why did you make me?
So when you switch to other modes of builds, like you get cats and foxes and wolves are some of the most common builds. I just have a better brain image in having them be able to navigate, get around. They're just a little bit more flexible. And I liked the universe that Bernard had set up. So I like the layout of the characters. Sometimes they're a little bit too fluffy slash hippie. But C'est la vie, I didn't write the race. I just play in its rules. and I like the art that was already out there. It was kind of something that clicked and was like, you know, I like that. I like that a lot. And I somewhat like the thought of the power that would be inherent in, you know, that.
It's like, I can crush you with my massive meaty paws.
Well, the strong shoulders, everything else like that. It just strikes me as the same power that you see when you see a tiger prowling on the other side of a chain link fence, like we see out at Care.
Mm-hmm.
I can very easily see that transformed into like a Taurus shape. So, and I admit the Herm facet of it is something that very much, it's something that, yeah, does grind my gears. I'm not into vor, so that's...
grind your gears or turn your crank?
Both.
Pick your metaphor.
Turn my crank, grind my gears.
Grind your crank, crank your gears. Wait, what? It
turns my gears and grinds my crank.
Your vagina has gears.
So, I'm not into vor, so that's not part of it. I don't really have any of the foot fetishes. It's mostly just, it's a visual yes, and I can picture it working somewhat in my head, so long as I don't think too much about the internal organs. Then my head goes, that doesn't really work. But, okay, well.
You have two hearts.
Time Lord.
A massive heart and a little heart.
So, yeah. So, that's it. It's mostly, primarily, like a visual thing.
Or most of the lower torso is all muscle, and there's just a single long-ass intestine tube.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, so long as I don't think too much about how those organs much work, I'm okay. Yeah. So.
Thankfully, they're a fantasy creature, and you don't have to worry about that.
Exactly.
It's fucking science fiction slash fantasy.
So, yeah.
So,
I just find them impossible. I'm sorry.
That's fine.
I just can't imagine them moving around. I don't know what it is.
I can easily think that when they move around, it's just not my thing.
That's fine.
So, whatever floats your boat, Shiva. Pat, pat.
You'll have those extra nub limbs added.
So, yeah.
You have to break out the large chance just to feel cat-ish.
I just want to feel like a person again. I don't know.
What?
Anywho. So, next week, hopefully the world will be a little calmer.
Yeah, I won't be on next week.
Oh, no.
Oh, yep. That's right. You're doing something. I don't even remember.
It's Siam's 40th birthday.
Oh, right.
Ah, yes. So, I think a good topic. So, after this last week of crazy bullshit, what the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
I think we should have a topic about the good of humanity. The stuff that we've seen the last week that, you know, people responding to bullshit happening that has inspired you to feel better about the human race.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, open topics as usual. But I figure that, you know, getting people to talk about
the good
shit that they've seen in the face of all this horrible bullshit would probably help raise some people's spirits, I think. And it'd be good to look on the bright side of life, as it
always
were. Look on the bright side of life. So, yeah, send in those emails to notcast@foxduffers.com by 8 p.m. Central Time next week, next Friday, and we'll hop to it, because we've completely cleared out the email inbox.
Yay.
Which means if you send an email, it'll probably get read next week. Huzzah!
Yay!
So it's now like 10:40-ish, or
10:56 p.m.
Okay, it's nearly 11 o'clock at night. So on that note...
Good night.
And big balls.